Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday, November 6th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Quite a bit to talk about today. Let's get right into it. Big news last night, Nolan King of MMA Junkie reported the UFC has cut 12 fighters from its roster. Some of these had kind of been known the last few days, like Thomas Gifford, who I'll talk about in a second, but a lot of them are kind of a surprise, including the first guy I'll talk about. I'll go through all 12 of the fighters that have been released, but I'll start with the top, the most important guy that's been cut, Curtis Millender. I'm shocked, honestly. Curtis Millender is a really good fighter, 3-2 record in the UFC. I can't believe they cut him. Listen, I get he has a hole in his ground game. There's no doubt about it. His ground game is not very good. His takedown defense is not very good, but his striking is excellent, and he's a fun guy to watch. 3-2 record in the UFC. He has some decent wins. Thiago Alves, Max Griffin, Ciara Bahadurzada. The two losses to Eliza Uzaleski de Santos and Bilal Muhammad. Before those two losses, he had actually racked up a 9-fight win streak. The guy is a very talented fighter. He wasn't able to show everything that he has in the octagon. I think he is a little better than what he showed in some of the fights, but he did have that beautiful knee knockout against Thiago Alves, won a bonus for that. And he had the wins, like I said, over Griffin and Bahadurzada. So I can't believe they cut him. I think he's a really good fighter. You never know what goes on behind the scenes. He could have been tough to deal with the matchmakers. He could have wanted more money. I'm not sure what his contractual situation was like, but usually guys sign 4-fight deals. He had a fifth. He just had his fifth fight, so I'm assuming he was on a second contract. I'm just surprised by the cut. 3-2 record in the UFC, a winning record. I know he had the two straight losses, but usually guys are given a little bit more leeway. Having said that, I think this shows that the UFC is going to be start releasing people. That even if they're a good fighter, a talented fighter, if you're on a 1 or 2 fight losing streak, you could be cut. And the promotion obviously signed a ton of guys from the Contender Series this year. There'll be more fighters coming in 2020. So people will need to be released from the roster to make room for those new fighters. But at the same time, I feel like Millender's a really good fighter, and I think Bellator will pick him up. He used to fight in Bellator. He overall is 2-2 in Bellator in two different stints. I think he'd look a lot better this time around, a third time around. So I believe you'll see Curtis Millender back in Bellator or possibly PFL. If they run another tournament, I think he'd look great in PFL in their welterweight tournament. So I believe this is a mistake by the UFC. I think they should have kept Curtis Millender around. But again, we don't know what was going on behind the scenes. Maybe something else happened. Another guy that is going to be controversial they cut is Manny Bermudez. Again, another guy with a winning record in the UFC. Most of the guys on this list, they'll talk about losing records. But Manny Bermudez was the other guy with a winning record, 3-2 overall in the UFC. The problem with Manny Bermudez is he missed weight 3 times in a row. And when you miss weight once or twice, you're on the hot seat. Like, look at John Lineker. He was missing weight all the time, but because he put on good fights, they kept him around. In the case of Bermudez, 3 straight weight misses, and that's too much. He had the weight miss against Benito Lopez. The Casey Kenney fight had to move it up to a 140-pound catchweight because he was going to miss weight. And then the Charles Rosa fight, he came in at 148 for a bantamweight or for a featherweight fight. So after moving up for bantamweight, he moved up to featherweight and missed weight there too. And he was coming off a 2-fight losing streak to Rosa and Kenny. So this one is a little bit more understandable, but at the same time, this guy is super talented and super young, only 25 years old. And before the 2-fight losing streak, he looked like a future bantamweight contender, if not champion. Like, this guy is really good. His ground game is amazing. 14 wins, 2 losses in career, 11 wins by submission, 1 by knockout. The guy's a finishing machine. His first 3 fights in the UFC were all submission wins. Albert Morales, Davey Grant, Benito Lopez. I get that those are kind of lower-ranked guys in that division, but still, this guy is a skilled fighter, and he'd look good in Bellator, too. He'd look good in PFL as well. I think that any of those promotions would be lucky to have him. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in LFA, to be completely honest. I think now that they're on Fight Pass, that would be a good spot for him because he could get a win or two there and then work his way back up to the UFC, work up to their good graces if he makes weight a few times. This is a guy I think will be back in the UFC eventually, but when you miss weight 3 times in a row, I feel like the UFC definitely has a right to cut you. I just think this guy is super talented, and it could end up being a mistake for the UFC because he is a very talented guy. All right, let's go down the rest of the list here. Andre Sukumtaw, he had a 2-5 record in the UFC. So this guy somehow was able to cling onto a roster spot for a long time. I guess his fights were decently exciting, but we know the story with Andre Sukumtaw. Very, very low fight IQ. Who can forget that fight with Sean O'Malley? He would have won that fight. That was a good fight. It won fight of the night, but that's a fight he should have won against a guy who was injured, and he wasn't able to get the win there. So again, 2-5 record. He did beat Luke Sanders by TKO. He did beat Jonathan Martinez by decision, but the last 2 fights, decision losses to Sue Majari and Montel Jackson, that was enough for the UFC to cut him. Talented guy for sure. He probably goes back to the regional scene, if I had to guess. CES MMA would be a good spot for him, back where he used to fight. Somewhere on the East Coast of the United States, I think, would be a good spot for him. Maybe Bellator. Not sure if they're going to be too interested. His record's not very good, but definitely an exciting guy. And I think eventually he could be back in the UFC, but there's no doubt about it. He's got to get a win. He's lost three of his last four fights. And overall, just with a 2-5 record, that's not very impressive to the UFC matchmakers. Next up, Henry Briones, 1-4 in the UFC. Another guy that I don't think anyone's surprised when he released. To be honest, I was surprised he was still on the roster because he hasn't fought in forever. So Briones, he's 39 years old, one of the oldest guys in that division. He was a bantamweight, obviously. A former Ultimate Fighter, Latin America competitor. He has a lot of experience. He's been around fighting for a long time. His first fight in the UFC, Guido Cannetti submitted him in 2014, and then he had a 4-fight losing streak after that. Lost to Cody Garbrandt, lost to Douglas Silva de Andrade, lost to Ronnie Yaya, and lost to Frankie Sainz. Now, let's be fair to this guy. Those are four pretty good fighters, especially Garbrandt, obviously former champ. De Andrade is a very good fighter. Yaya is super dangerous. And Sainz, well, not super dangerous, is still a good grinder. So he had four tough fights that he lost. But at the same time, 1-4 is not a good record. And also, crazy enough, Josh Gross from The Athletic did a story on this guy the other day. He's actually doing color commentary for the Anaheim Ducks of the NHL, which I thought was really surprising and pretty cool. And apparently he's doing color commentary for some promotion. I think it was in Mexico or in California. So this guy obviously is already looking past his fighting career. I'm not 100% sure if he's officially retired yet, but I would imagine that would come soon. Again, 1-4 record in the UFC, so very understandable cut by the promotion. All right, let's get to some guys with losing records that didn't pick up a win. First off, we'll go with Derek Krantz. Derek Krantz went 0-2 in the UFC. I kind of feel bad for this dude because he had that first fight against Vicente Luque. He took it on super short notice, and he actually put up a good fight. He actually hurt Luque in the beginning of the fight, and lost by TKO, and then lost to Song Kennan in a very close decision. So I do feel bad for this guy because I think he had two tough fights in the UFC, but at the same time, 0-2 record. The promotion is looking to kind of trim the fat around the welterweight division. I can understand why they cut Krantz, but again, a very talented guy at times and very experienced. 24-12 record, LFA experience, Bellator experience, UFC experience. I'm not sure where he goes next. Maybe back to LFA now that they're back on Fight Pass. That would probably be a good spot for him, or maybe Bellator, but I think he'll definitely fight again. He's only 31 years old, and again, a talented guy. Another guy with an 0-2 record that was caught, Thomas Gifford. This one's not a surprise. I talked about it the other day, actually, with Cole Shelton. Gifford had a rough run in the UFC, 0-2. He lost to Roosevelt Roberts in a mediocre fight, and then he absolutely got destroyed by Mike Davis in one of the worst beatdowns ever, probably in the UFC. Tough dude. Got a lot of respect for this guy, and he's super tough, but he's just not good enough for the UFC. So this is a good cut by the promotion. This guy's not UFC caliber. He does have a good record in his career, 17-9 and 2-0 contests, so a solid record, but he's just not a UFC caliber fighter. It's back to the regional scene, I think, for Thomas Gifford. Next up, Kyle Stewart, another guy who went 0-2 in the UFC. Kyle Stewart, another guy that was on the Contender Series, and he just didn't have a great showing in the UFC. He lost back-to-back fights to Chance Rencounter and Eric Koch, so he didn't have a very good record in the UFC, but overall, in his career, he's still solid, 11-3. If you discount those fights, 9-3. He does have a couple, obviously, notable fights, notable wins. Jason Jackson, that's a good win. Esteban Payan, former UFC fighter. So this guy is talented, but at the same time, he's not super great. And my apology, my math is wrong there. If he didn't have those two losses in the UFC, obviously he'd be 11-1. So he did have them, though, so 11-3. It is what it is. Again, not a guy that you can argue against being cut. Same goes for Daniello Bellawardo. He didn't look very good in the UFC. He was finished by Joel Alvarez, a guy who doesn't finish people by strikes, and he finished Daniello Bellawardo. And also Marco Madsen on that Copenhagen card. And I think that fight, that was a terrible matchup for this guy. Co-main event against a guy from Denmark. He got smashed in the first round. So again, another guy that, with an 0-2 record, obviously wasn't going to stick around much longer. Same goes for Nohelan Hernandez. I feel kind of bad for this guy, though, because his first fight was against Marlon Vera, who's a great fighter, and that was on short notice, and he got finished, but he actually put up a decent fight against Vera, and then he lost to Jack Shore, who's an amazing prospect in his next fight, both kind of later on stoppages. I think the Vera fight was second round, Shore was third round. I would have given this guy another fight personally, but, you know, 0-2 record, so I can see why they cut him. I just think that he had two really, really tough fights, and I think he actually showed a lot versus Vera, and they could have kept him around. Now you're getting to the bottom end of these guys that are being cut. Yoshinori Horii, 0-1 record in the UFC. So this guy, he had one fight in the UFC. He lost to Hakeem Dawodu by knockout at UFC 240 in the summer, and he got released. I think they could have given this guy another fight. I mean, that fight was actually pretty entertaining. One fight and done against a top prospect in Dawodu, that seems like a rough cut. Maya Stevenson from The Ultimate Fighter 26, she was cut. She only fought once in the UFC. She was finished by Pollyanna Viana. That fight was almost 2 years ago. She's actually fighting in bare knuckle now. I'm surprised she wasn't cut sooner. I haven't heard her name in a long time. Obviously, had the one fight. So, again, not a surprise this one that she was released. And the last guy is Azamat Mirzakhanov. He went 0-0 in the UFC, didn't fight. And that's because he failed his USADA drug test before he actually even fought in the UFC. So, again, not a surprise there. Again, I feel like Millender was the guy that is a mistake. And there's a few other guys here like Horii and possibly Bermudez that could end up being mistakes as well. But overall, I think that the one guy is Millender that people are kind of up in arms about right now. The rest of them, I think, are defensible. But Millender with a winning record, never missed weight, lost to two top 15 guys at DeSantos and Muhammad. That's a rough cut to me. And I think they should have kept it around. But I think the UFC's loss will be Bellator's gain. If you guys want to have a comment or something about any of the fighters the UFC cut, throw them in the chat room and I'll try to answer it during this podcast. All right, let's get to some other news here. According to Yoel Romero, Israel Adesanya has turned down a fight against him. So I'm not sure what's going on here. No one really is too sure. Dana White said he liked the fight. Then he said he didn't like the fight. Adesanya said he liked the fight. Now apparently he's turning it down, according to Romero. Romero wants the fight. Obviously his team wants the fight. I think the fans would like to see this fight. I get Romero's coming off two straight losses. And usually you don't give a title shot to a guy coming off one straight loss, let alone two. We have seen fighters in the past get title shots off one straight loss, like Chael Sonnen, a few other fighters, obviously. So it's not Frankie Edgar, really another guy, Jose Aldo. There's a few guys for sure. But Romero, with the two straight losses, yes, he probably should get a win. At the same time, though, razor thin loss to Whitaker and a really entertaining loss to Paul Costa, who's hurt. They need someone to fight Adesanya. If this fight doesn't happen, I still feel like there's a chance it could happen because I feel like the UFC will eventually get this fight done, but we'll see what happens. I think Cannonier would be a guy, but Adesanya again said that he wants Cannonier to get another win after beating Hermanson. So at this point, I'm not really too sure, but they're going to have to find someone for Adesanya to fight. It won't be Costa. Even though he wants to rush back to Ocon, it's not going to be him. So again, we'll have to wait and see what happens with the UFC and their matchmaking. This Adesanya thing is kind of like the Conor McGregor thing where it feels like every day there's a new name being talked about, but nothing's getting done. Hopefully the McGregor thing happens soon. Even if it's the Cowboy fight, I know a lot of people aren't too excited about that. I think it's a fight that makes sense, although I think there are more exciting fights like Gaethje. But either way, I feel like the UFC's kind of waiting for the McGregor fight to happen, and then the domino effect will happen where the other guys, like Adesanya, will start getting their fights booked. So we'll probably hear something about these guys in the next few weeks, I'd imagine. The UFC's schedule for 2019 is running down. They're going to have to start announcing these cards for 2020. We already know the one card, January 18 in Vegas, but that's it. There's all these other cards being announced, fights being announced for them, but we don't know where the cards are. And I'll talk about some of those fights in a few minutes, actually. Darren Till is another guy who says he wants Adesanya. He says he's gunning for him. His plan is to fight Adesanya eventually. Till, I think he needs another win, though. He got the win over Gastelum. That puts him in the top five, but it wasn't that impressive of a fight. Still got the win, though, for sure. Till versus Cannonier, Till versus Whitaker, those are fights that make sense. I think Till versus Whitaker, I think, is a really fun fight, actually. So I'm sure we'll hear something about Darren Till very shortly. Wouldn't surprise me if he actually does end up main eventing a card in either Europe, somewhere probably in the UK. Usually they go there in March, or maybe he goes to New Zealand and fights Robert Whitaker. Dan Hardy, he has apologized to Johnny Walker. He sent out an apology note yesterday. Now, I've seen some people criticize the apology note. They think it's kind of a half-assed apology, one of those sorry, I'm not sorry kind of things. And you can read it yourself and you can give your thoughts on it. But at least he did admit that he screwed up because, listen, what he said about Johnny Walker taunting Corey Anderson before UFC 244 was not right. He says he claimed they were in the hallway and Johnny Walker was telling Corey he was going to knock him out and all this stuff. Corey Anderson took to Johnny Walker's defense on social media and said this wasn't true. It was a fan saying that. So when the guy who he's saying was getting taunted says that it didn't happen, he obviously was wrong. So go check out Dan Hardy's apology message. It's kind of, I don't know. You guys can have your own opinion about it. I didn't think it was the most sincerest apology, but at least he did go out there and say something publicly. Another thing I want to talk about here is UFC 244 and the pay. I've seen a few articles floating around about pay and some numbers. Like Corey Masvidal, there's this meme going around saying Canelo Alvarez made $35 million and Masvidal only made $500,000. That is incorrect. I'm the first guy who says that the fighters in UFC and MMA in general deserve to be paid more. I'm a staunch defender of fighter pay, and I believe that fighters in UFC are very underpaid compared to what the UFC is making. At the same time, though, that report is wrong. It's not real. That's phony. There's some website out there. I don't even want to name the website. If you Google it, you can find it. But there's a website out there that posts salaries for these events that are false. New York State Athletic Commission did not release salaries for this event. So these guys are using old numbers for these numbers that they're putting out there, and they're generating these memes and discussion by fans that are incorrect. The UFC paid Masvidal much more than $500,000 to fight in the main event of UFC 244. He's absolutely in the millions, probably in the low millions, but still, he got paid more than $500,000. So to me, that was just a BS report. I really don't like when false information spread, and that report is false. Also in that report, it was like Arlovski made $300,000. I think that's false too. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I'm pretty sure that's false. I'm not really sure why Arlovski would be getting paid that much. I know it's really not that much compared to other pro athletes, but at the same time, that one stood out to me as something that's another false one. Basically, these guys are using old numbers and saying, well, these were the numbers like 1 or 2 years ago, so they're probably the same now. Not true, especially in the case of Masvidal, where he's main eventing one of the biggest pay-per-views of all time. That report was absolute BS. And again, I really don't like when those reports come out that are fake. It's fake news, guys, straight up. All right, let's get to some fight announcements here. There's two I want to talk about. UFC Busan, that fight keeps getting really fun. That card, I should say, keeps getting really fun fights added to it. This one's pretty fun. A bantamweight bout between Kyung Ho Kang and Ping Wan Liu. I do like this matchup. Kyung Ho Kang is a very, very good fighter. Very solid when he does fight. Obviously, he had some time off. He didn't fight between 2014 and 2018, but this year he's fought twice. He beat Tsuruto Ishihara, and he beat Brandon Davis. Overall in the UFC, he is 5-2-1 no contest. A very, very good fighter. And he takes on Liu Pingwan, or Pingwan Liu, at UFC Busan. Pingwan Liu, he's been okay in the UFC 2-1. He beat Martin Day and Damian Stasiak. He lost to Jonathan Martinez by knee knockout. That was a brutal knockout, by the way. Overall, decent run in the UFC. I would definitely favor Kang, though. I'm surprised they're matching up a guy coming off a loss against a guy coming off two straight wins, but I guess at this point they just want to fill in spots, and they're two Asian fighters, obviously, on an Asian card, so it does kind of make sense. And the other fight announcement would be Dan Ige's taking on Mirsad Bektic. Really good featherweight fight. This is one of those TBD cards in 2020. This apparently is in February. There is a rumor out there by Ariel Helwani that the UFC will be hosting a pay-per-view card in Houston, Texas in February. So that's not confirmed either, but that's the rumor according to Ariel. So I'm assuming this fight will be on that card. Dan Ige has looked great in the UFC. There's no doubt about it. He is on four fight win streaks, 4-1 overall. His last four wins, he's beaten Kevin Aguilar, Danny Henry, Jordan Griffin, and Mike Santiago. He had the one loss to Julio Arce. Takes on Mirsad Bektic here, who at one point was like a guy that everyone thought would be a title contender, but he's really faded the last few years. Overall, 6-2 record in the UFC, but the knockout loss to Josh Emmett, the knockout loss to Darren Elkins. Unfortunately, this guy is not as good as we all thought he would be. His chin is not great, and his cardio is not great either. So, interesting fight. Bektic actually matches up, I think, pretty well with Ige, but I like Ige here, guys. I think that with that momentum, I think that should really help him here. I'm just going to take a look and see if I missed anything else. Josh Hill, former WSOF champion, he signed with Bellator, so that's a pretty good sign, I think, for them. Josh Hill is a very good fighter out of Ontario, Canada. Known him for a long time. That's Nolan King actually had that news. He also announced that Bellator signed Georgi Valentinov and Vladislav Parabchenko. So not too familiar with those guys. I'm sure I will be very shortly, but overall, I think these could be some good signings for Bellator. They have good records, so at least that helps. And Josh Hill is a very good fighter, like I said. You know, another guy that I think could have been in the UFC for a while, but, you know, he had the losses to Marlon Moraes in WSF that hurt his record, obviously. All right, here we go. Got one question here. QBO MMA, how many fights Edmund Shahbazyan should, in your opinion, have before getting a title shot? Great question. I think Edmund's a future champ, man. I really do. He's 21 years old now. He wants to break the record. Him and Macy Barber both want to break that record by John Jones, who is 23 years and I believe 8 months when he beat Shogun for the title. Shahbazyan right now is 21. He turns 22 actually 2 weeks from now, exactly 2 weeks from now, November 20th. So he's got about a year and a half, almost 2 years to get this done. He just beat Brad Tavares. He's 4-0. He's 11-0 in his career, the 4-0 in the UFC. I think he's probably two wins away. Again, we talked about him yesterday in the podcast, myself and Cole. I think Derek Brunson or Uriah Hall would be really good fights for him. Well, he actually is ranked above Hall now in the latest rankings. Not that they matter, but, you know, people do look at those. Derek Brunson's ranked a little bit above him. I think Derek Brunson would be a great fight, and I think actually Shahbazyan knocks out Derek Brunson. So that fight makes sense, and then once he beats Derek Brunson, if he does, then you give him a top five guy like a Till or a Whitaker or a Romero or someone like that. So, or maybe even someone ranked a little bit lower like Hermanson. So he's probably two wins away, maybe three actually, now that I look at it. But he's close, and I think he's a very good fighter, guys. This kid is someone that I truly do have my eye on as a future champion. I know everyone wants to make fun of Edmund Tavernier and how Ronda's career flamed out. And listen, there's fair criticism towards Edmund for the way he handled Ronda's career at the end. But this guy, Edmund, is actually on the right career path. Ronda Rousey manages him. She's doing a good job managing him. She's matched him up well in the last four fights. The Brad Tavares win was the perfect matchup for this guy. And now it's time for a step up again over Brad Tavares. So I think Edmund's great, man. Great question. And I'm very curious to see how he looks going forward when he steps up in competition. In my opinion, he will be a future champion in the UFC one day. There's some fighters you just have to look at and be like, that guy's going to win a title one day. I saw this with John Jones years ago. I saw this with Chris Weidman a long time ago as well. And I think I see it with Edmund Shahbazyan. I really, truly believe this kid will eventually hold the UFC middleweight title. Don't know if he ever actually fights Adesanya. I feel like Adesanya might be up at like heavyweight fighting Jones at that point. But this kid is super dangerous, super talented. It makes me feel old, man. I'm born in 1988, and this kid's born in 97. And he's just tearing it up in the UFC. So good for him. And he's an incredible fighter. All right, guys. Thanks again for joining me today on the podcast. I got to mention myself and Cole Sheldon broke down UFC Moscow in its entirety yesterday on the show. So definitely go back and check that out. Broke down all 13 fights in the card, gave our picks. I also did a podcast yesterday talking about a new fight between Rozenstruik and Overeem. So check us out on Twitter. Check me out on Twitter, I should say, at MM Adam Martin. This podcast is available at MMAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe. Tell your friends about it. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please subscribe. Leave a review if you can. I appreciate that, guys. A positive review if you don't mind. Anchor, Spotify, bunch of places. Also check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. Guys, have a great day. I really appreciate you tuning into these podcasts. I'll see you guys tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the show. Have a good one. Bye.